Okay, well, welcome to another edition of Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides. We're at August 23rd, 2026, which you may be at too if you're listening to this on that day. That's when it's initially being netcast and then ultimately archived on the Huff website where you can find it. What have we got? Well, we have a protest that happened yesterday. Some called it the Killer Coonerty Protest. My flyer was titled "Say No to Laws That Punish the Poor. Ryan Coonerty's Policies and Keeley's City Council Laws Have Hurt Everyone," which was the flyer I distributed. We were in front of the bookshop Coonerty, or Bookshop Santa Cruz, as I call it, and concerned about a variety of issues, which I'll be reading to you some of the text from. And you may have already seen it because some of the flyers have gotten out on, not yet on Indie Bay, where I'll probably be posting them, but also on Facebook, I guess it is. We had a small turnout. People have been reluctant to table in Huff and other groups. I think people are still kind of suffering a scare from the anti-Semitism smear against the attacks, used as a label, as a sort of a sword to attack activists on campus 2 years ago that drove away the anti-Gaza protests, sadly, and has driven them away for the last 2 years, although certainly some of the conventional climate, the establishment climate, is turning as it becomes, you know, undeniable what's going on over there in Gaza and in the Middle East in terms of Israeli expansion. But it's hasn't yet reached the point where people are taking the kind of activity that doing the kinds of things that would actually move the policymakers, essentially put them in some apprehension that they would be losing their political power if they don't take some action. Of course, they no doubt would start calling us terrorists, as Woodrow Wilson called Alice Paul and others when she was going on hunger strike and marching and demanding of the vote for women, although what we can vote for is, of course, problematic these days, given the fact that the basic structure is never being questioned, or at least not until it's questioned, but it's not questioned in a meaningful way that reaches the American public or the Santa Cruz community. So let's jump into some of this, wherever we're going to go, I'm not sure. But we'll be doing some discussion of protests, some interviews with people from Fresno who showed up, and some other things which I'll be throwing at you, perhaps in kind of desperation to fill the space, but also because at the time they seemed interesting, and perhaps they are. And they bear on their accounts by folks who are outside of what they're in fact enduring and what they need and what is wrong about what's going on at the present time in Santa Cruz. And perhaps I may even find something that's right, though we always still have the sun in the sky and our community, and that's a beginning.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you.
So let's begin with a discussion of the protest that happened on Saturday, yesterday, if you're listening to this on August 23rd, at the near the bookshop Santa Cruz on the sidewalk, my participation in the protest was to bring up the reality of Ryan Coonerty's record. Ryan Coonerty is has twice been mayor of Santa Cruz. He's, as you will learn from this flyer that I'm going to read to you, and you'll also be able to see, as I mentioned before, posted online, he's been part of the city council's general anti-homeless riptide, if you will. So numerous folks are concerned about the upcoming November election, where Amy Chen Mills will be sort of facing off against Ryan Coonerty for the mayorship of Santa Cruz, which is now an independently elected office, separate from the city council, thanks to the questionable work of Fred Keeley. I'm not a fan of what he did. The Coonerty family, of course, has been running the bookshop Santa Cruz for decades, in some ways positive and in other ways negative. I, of course, am focusing on the mayoral aspect of this whole thing. And this is where sort of the, I don't think that Ryan is currently involved, or I'm not aware to the extent Ryan is currently involved in the management of the bookstore, but the bookshop is sort of the Coonerty locus in a certain way, because he has, for example, when we have protested the Coonerty family's behavior, both Ryan, who was on the city council twice, and Neil Coonerty, who similarly was elected at least once, I'm not sure about how many times Neil was elected, but during their tenure on the council and in the upcoming tenure that Coonerty will have if he wins the election in November, homeless people suffered increased legal restrictions, and part of the policy, which is to drive homeless people, in my view, out of town and out of sight. And that was my purpose for being at this protest. Others had a different purpose, which had more to do with the electoral victory of Coonerty's opponent, which in my mind is rather unlikely. But you never can tell, because I think it would be great if, frankly, someone other than Ryan won. But the problem I find with the Santa Cruz City Council candidates, even the most liberal, is that they don't really understand, or at least are willing to lead the charge for the issues that the homeless people face in Santa Cruz, and actually across the country, but we're here in this particular piece of the country. So we have lots of promises and very little fulfillment. In any case, the Killer Coonerty flyer that came out and was prominently displayed on our table, protest against mayoral candidate Ryan Coonerty, talked about his, I'll read a little bit of the flyer. Ryan Coonerty claims the city reduced homelessness by 50% in 5 years. Ryan was recently on the Board of Supervisors, and that those still homeless are, quote, service resistant. As county supervisor, he proposed placing the homeless in Camp Roberts, 2 hours south of Santa Cruz. In other words, sort of get them out of town, control them, lock them up, treat them as either second-class citizens, certainly, but it actually smacks of treating them as criminals as well. His boss, this flyer continues, San Jose Mayor Matt Mahan, passed responsibility to shelter ordinance in San Jose, sentencing the homeless to jail for public trespassing if they refuse shelter, even though the shelters are already full. San Jose also uses the AI software initially designed by Coonerty's company, PredPol, PREDPOL, to locate homeless encampments. And there's also a section of the flyer which I have not researched, and I hope to get more information on this in a future netcast, but it's, I think, one of the reasons that Keith McHenry had some strong feelings about Coonerty's candidacy. He writes, "This same software has migrated into Palomir's targeting application used to kill families in Palestine, Lebanon, and Iran. Coonerty's brother-in-law, Michel Prati, or maybe Michael Prati, invested in Fred Paul. According to his wife, Casey Coonerty Prati, her husband is the most powerful executive at Meta. Meta not only declares Palestinian, Lebanese, and Iranian voices, sorry, deletes Palestinian, Lebanese, and Iranian voices, it also provides support for the genocide and wars. One of Mahan's top campaign contributors was Palantir co-founder, billionaire Joe Lonsdale, who also founded the Cicero Institute, which is pushing governments to criminalize the homeless, like those adopted by San Jose, the so-called service-resistant responsibility to shelter ordinance, which sentences the homeless to jail for public trespassing. The developers behind the ugly, sterile, high-rise luxury condo projects, McHenry continues to write, blighting our city, are funding Ryan Coonerty's campaign. And the flyer, this November, vote for Ami Chen Mills for mayor of Santa Cruz, endorsed by the Santa Cruz Homeless Union. And as I said, I'm skeptical of all these politicians, pretty much, because I feel it's the institutional structure that has to be fundamentally changed. Because it's calcified, and you can see how the wealth has developed with massive and increasing disproportion of wealth, and it'll be, I'm afraid, getting worse as the war goes on until people decide they're going to do something about it, frankly, more directly than wait for electoral politics to solve their problems. But then again, that's what this protest is about. It's about educating people. My a little bit about educating people had to do with this flyer, which I'm going to read you, called Say No to Laws That Punish the Poor. Ryan Coonerty's policies and Keeley's city council laws hurt everyone. Of course, Fred Keeley is the current mayor of Santa Cruz, who initiated a number of changes, such as the whole electoral system, where the mayor is elected independently. District elections got voted in after, and of course, the library shoveled underneath a, what is it, four-story parking structure, or was it five? I can never remember. That is being built over the corpse of the farmer's market. Well, the farmer's market is being moved to another area. And you get to see the construction if you just drive by Cedar Street. Anyway, here's some Coonerty history, according to what I was writing, and I think this is accurate. Councilmember Coonerty backed the 15-minute trespass law, making downtown city parking lots forbidden zones unless walking through or parking or retrieving a vehicle. This was a thinly disguised anti-homeless measure. It was passed with no serious discussion of alternative solutions, no recognition of the drastic change in traditional Santa Cruz policy, and inadequate documentation of the supposed crime need that would require essentially making it a forbidden zone, making all parking lots downtown, those pay parking lots you go to, and some of the free ones, all the ones that are governmentally owned, that are owned by the city, and are supposed to be our parking lots, you can be arrested if you sit in your car and read a book, if you do a protest there, let's say at the back entrance of some business, or if you socialize with a friend there, if you organize an event, say starting from a vacant parking lot to go somewhere else. This has almost always been used only against homeless people. Though it has also been used against musicians and performers. And I'm not aware that that ordinance has been used recently, but the ordinance itself is a standing weapon against those outside. It was originally developed by Ryan Coonerty himself back in 2006 when he was on the city council. I think he became vice mayor the next year and then mayor the year after that. We had the rotating mayor system at that time. he and then Mayor Cynthia Matthews essentially used calls for service as the fact that nervous people called because they saw homeless people sheltering in parking garages out of the rain. Or who knows, maybe disgruntled employees because the city has refused to really open up adequate bathrooms for either tourists or for the homeless community, that of which there are hundreds and hundreds around Santa Cruz that have no shelter. They're unsheltered as well as being homeless. So this ordinance is still on the books, and throughout his time, Coonerty has indicated no inclination to have it changed. He, of course, wouldn't. He initiated it initially. So, continuing reading this flyer, throughout the two terms of city council his two terms from 2004 to 2008, and then again from 2008 to 2012, Coonerty has supported the downtown ordinances expanding police powers for such crimes as sitting within 14 feet of a building, holding up a sign asking for help after dark, sitting, standing, or gathering in a public parking lot for more than 15 minutes, as mentioned before, and falling asleep on any public property. That was the famous sleeping ban, which is now still on the books, but doesn't use the word sleeping. It simply essentially describes conditions having camping equipment where blankets and bedding and so forth are considered camping. And because of the Martin versus Boise court decision, the folks at the city council here in Santa Cruz cooked up an ordinance that didn't use the word sleeping, but it had the same effect. And so it's used currently by the authorities to break up encampments, such as communities that gather when homeless people gather to support each other, such as at the Coral Street area alongside the cutoff services, funding matters, which they call housing matters, the complex at 115 Coral Street, which gets millions of dollars and serves a minority of the homeless population and has cut off its services to the rest, which kind of interestingly enough, it was originally under other names set up by years ago to provide essentially a free meal and to provide shower services and so forth, that it developed into that. But as it became a sort of an industry and a fund, I would say fund grabbing, maybe a little harsh, but when you cut off all kinds of services to homeless people because they can't pay for them, the whole point of it is that they can't pay for ordinary services. So a decent society has to recognize that this kind of thing happens. Anyway, continuing with the Coonerty history, which we discussed at the protest and talked about, and some of us shouted about it, and I just sort of handed out flyers about it. Coonerty helped reduce public comment time at city council to reduce attempts by activists of many stripes, but especially homeless activists. They diverted attention from shelter and survival services to harsh and futile drive-them-out-of-town solutions. A lot of money for the police, but no money for, or very little, for other kinds of services like basic shelter, emergency shelter in storms, emergency shelter in winter, and so forth, or just water, bathrooms, and so forth for people who are outside and are having to make their own way outside. As mayor, Coonerty voted in 2011 to defeat a resolution supporting the Trust Act, which would have the city opt out of Secure Communities program in Santa Cruz County. This federal program was forced on local jurisdictions and reportedly responsible for the mass deportation of innocent people, including homeless community members. Repeatedly, Coonerty as mayor violated the spirit, if not the letter, of the State Sunshine Act, which required his public appearance schedule to be made available to the community. He also refused to divulge his calendar of past meetings with lobbyists, which I customarily ask all mayors to do this. I think Coonerty is similarly, I should say Keeley, in his tenure has refused to do this as well. Some mayors have agreed to do it. I mean, it seems to me an obvious aspect of putting the citizenry on a more level playing field with the mayors, and also having the mayor being transparent and accessible, which is important, because the mayor, or in our jurisdiction, ultimately the city manager, has great power over the youth to use the police, the parks and rec rangers. The whole bureaucracy is sort of at his beck and call, because he can fire the folks that he wants to, although I suppose there are some union protections, but those who are in political power have a lot more power than those of us who aren't. And that is sort of one of the problems why city councils themselves, they also worry about maintaining their power. Bureaucrats who are under the city manager don't have to face the election. They are there, and they have to essentially please their bosses, who in this case are often very conservative. Coonerty has refused to supported harsh changes to city law that intensified penalties like the infraction crime, such as sitting within 14 feet of a building, to misdemeanor status with a 1 year in jail possible penalty. Increasing these penalties being the theory that you will get the homeless to avoid Santa Cruz, and that will solve, quote unquote, the homeless problem. It's sort of like how some right-wing authorities in California during the Depression tried to deal with folks migrating from Oklahoma, the Okies, that sort of thing. As Mayor Coonerty he signed an official letter banning peaceful activists from his bookshop, Santa Cruz, for holding peaceful demonstrations on the public sidewalk outside the bookshop, which we were like what we were doing today. And again, the reason we're holding them in front of his bookshop, well, there's a couple of reasons. There's a statue of the musical saw player Tom Scribner, and he was an anarchist and communist who lived in the St. George Hotel, which was at that time in that building, and it was in the 70s. It became a free speech zone, although the entire Pacific Garden Mall, when it was the Garden Mall before it was dismantled after the earthquake, was a free speech zone, because America is supposed to be a free speech zone. That's part of the constitutional protections that the anti-federalists were able to finally get into the Constitution, which was actually a document, of course, that endorsed slavery and kept it going for 60 years. So that's another issue there too. But anyway, that's sort of half of the flyer that I wrote. And let's take a musical break while I catch my breath.
Tradition. We believe in Oxford debates. We're all free to critique the affairs of state. You can complain about the Greens, speak your mind on the Tories, if you don't like the Liberals or the union aristocracy. You can have a rally against Muslim immigration, protest against the Treasury with your perspective on inflation. You can protest Russia, protest against Ukraine, but all levels of the government will go utterly insane. If you criticize Israel, the Home Office may say you're a threat to public order, so you can't enter the UK. Come as an academic, come visit as a tourist, as long as you obey the rules, as long as you get the gist. If you understand the principle that you say just what you like, as long as it's not anti-Zionist, then we'll take your mic. If you criticize Israel, the Home Office may say you're a threat to public order, so you can't enter the UK. You may have been over many times without ever getting in a fight, but the safety of society requires certain oversight. So these young Turks must be kept across the ocean. If they were let back in the country, there'd be just too much commotion. If you criticize Israel, the Home Office may say you're a threat to public order, so you can't enter the UK. Who knows who might be next after Jenkin Hassanabi? Half the people in the world might be getting rather stroppy, at least if measured by the standards of these criminal reporters. It's time to keep out lots of people who might want to cross the border. If you criticize Israel, the Home Office may say you're a threat to public order, so you can't enter the UK. If you criticize Israel, the Home Office may say you're a threat to public order, so you can't enter the UK.
So that song was called You Can't Enter the UK, and it was by David Robix with his Best of Aitsuno collection, The Holocaust Is Now, online, which I recommend you check out. There are lots of songs. They're actually... I think 181 tracks, and makes them all available without charge. I wish more people were donating, myself included. But remember to do that. So, continuing with this flyer that I gave out at the protests, again, the whole point being to awaken people to the fact that the laws that are currently on the books give police a lot of powers toward the homeless, which they suddenly and strikingly use, maybe at the direct instigation of the city mangler, as I call the city manager, Matt Huffaker, again, as part of this now acceptable second class, well, it's always been acceptable, but it's becoming acceptable to adopt measures that I think it previously might have seemed a little beyond the pale. As I said, the most recent one was this eviction of people at Coral Street 2 weeks ago. And then you'll hear people talking at this protest, some of the folks I interviewed there, of police in the last few days going after folks on the levee. There's a feeding operation in the morning. I don't know if they go after the Bread and Roses feeding operation from 10:30 to noon, or when the food runs out at the Dragon's Head Bridge across from Trader Joe's, and between Trader Joe's and the bridge over the San Lorenzo that goes to San Lorenzo Park. So that's a consideration. But I find I'm not being very considerate, because I'm afraid I'm getting more distortion here, which is cutting into your possible enjoyment or even understanding the words I'm using. So, the second part of the flyer that I was giving out yesterday, the grim record of Santa Cruz City Council, is really an attempt to point out that while a number of my co-activists are concerned with Coonerty not getting elected, and I think I am too, the real problem is not just with Coonerty, it's with the entire council and with the whole series of laws they've passed. And in order to understand this, you have to understand what those laws have been. I mentioned a few of them in this community history. Losi has been particularly responsible for, like the what I call the parking lot panic law and the parking lot panic and parking garage paranoia law, which are essentially the same law. One extended beyond the other eventually when he was able, along with Cynthia Matthews, to get this new city council, the one against the parking garage structures, you know, the menace of homeless people sleeping in the garage, making his employees nervous when they go to their cars. That was his major push when he originally started it. As one of the few conversations I've actually had with the man years ago. In any case, this is the city council's doing, not just Coonerty. And so what else do we have to know about the city council to understand what we have to change? Well, we have, reading this as I go ahead and do, shrinking the performance, vending, and political space for tabling on Pacific Avenue until state vending law protections about 7 or 8 years ago preempted the council, which then turned to pay-to-play regulations for handicraft vendors. In other words, there you will see vendors now on Pacific Avenue who have to have licenses to have their tables. It used to be you could set up a table for a period of time. You didn't have a permanent spot or anything of that sort, but you could do that. And just pissed off the merchants because they feel like they're getting, you know, they're paying these exorbitant rents. And instead of, you know, getting together to deal with their landlords, they rather come after the weaker, lower-lying fruit, the people who are poorer outside. If they can impact the city council to drive them away, then somehow it'll improve their business. I'm not aware of any statistics that ever showed that was the case. And I think the number of empty shops in Santa Cruz suggests that there are other deeper problems here than street performers, jewelry vendors on the avenue, even, dare I say it, homeless people sitting next to buildings. I mean, that is a reality, and the fact that unless you see it, you don't deal with it, even think about dealing with it. But that, of course, is the solution of politicians like Coonerty and like the city council generally at what it's been doing. Continuing the grim record of the Santa Cruz City Council, the city's vast grant of authority to the Parks and Recreation Department, allowing it to declare huge swaths of the city, including the entire Pacific Avenue, a park. So they're the park department. They can then send in Parks and Rec rangers to give you a ticket for violating ordinances that apply to parks. Things like curfews, things like, Pacific Avenue, there are specific ordinances that talk about you cannot sit within 14 feet of